big old trout. It's just as cool as the evening shade. Well, I toss my line.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Dr. John Burke. We're going to be talking a little bit about fly fishing, but right now we're going to go down to our probably most favorite fishing place in the entire world. The East Cape of Baja has got to be one of the prime locations for blue water fishing and actually some inshore fishing. And this time of the year, Chuck, yeah, I guess you're probably more inshore. You got some Sierra mackerel down there. What's going on?
Sierra mackerel, how about some Humboldt squid right in front of the hotel?
Okay. Well, there's still a continuing controversy as far as I'm concerned. Next time I'm down there, I want you to show me how to prepare it so that it tastes good. It comes out easy and tender, but there's for some reason that whenever I try it, no matter what I do, I get a little bit of a kind of a bitter aftertaste. But I know that depends on how it's done, it can work. But they are. I don't know if they're a lot of fun to catch, John, or if they're just a lot of work.
I don't know. They seem kind of intimidating to me.
Yeah.
You guys need to know how to prepare them, and I told you I'll give you the recipe when you get here.
Okay, I'll do that for sure. Now, the Humboldt squid, are they using those for bait now, or are you just catching them and using them?
Catching them and eating them for fun. there's no tuna in right now, so, I mean, if we had tuna, it would be great, but no. There's Dorado. They're in. They're in the same area. The buoys.
Uh huh.
And in front of here, I mean everywhere. That's basically, you'll find them anywhere where you go. Of course, and not too far away. Striped marlin are in. They're really strong right now. Would be great to get into some of that fishing right now because it's very good, fight between the striped marlin right now. They're super strong, and of course I they told me that the pargo have been biting really close by from here to Punta Pescadero.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice size pargo,
right?
And yellowtail.
Oh, yellowtail. Oh, that's right.
So pargo, yellowtail, striped marlin.
Dorado.
Dorado.
Sierra mackerel.
And Humboldt squid.
And Humboldt squid, yeah.
Humboldt squid, you can go for 5 minutes and you'll get a bunch.
Well, by the way, once you get that, they cut that mantle off and it'll freeze and last for a long time. And squid has got to be the universal bait. And when you're in Alaska, you use squid for bait. When you're in and off the coast of California, you use squid for bait. And even all the way down in Baja, you use squid for bait because it's just a kind of a universal, and it seems like it works for a lot of different species.
It stays on the hook for rockfish.
You got about 10 or 15 pounds of fillets in that in your freezer. You can just you're always ready to go.
That's right.
And the... this time of the year, I guess, is, February, March is normally when you get a little bit of wind in the Sea of Cortez, right?
Yeah. Right now, it's our winter.
Mm-hmm.
Our winter month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's still...
It's cold for us. It's freezing.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe for you, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's about... 65 degrees.
Oh, my gosh, that is freezing.
Gosh,
we haven't seen that for a while. Yeah.
For us, it's freezing.
I know. You got to wear long pants and everything.
Yeah.
I have my vest on.
So it's still a great time to go down because the fishing is always good. But a good tip for this time of the year is don't plan on going down there or going out for one day. You may have to... plan on going down there for 4 or 5 days, and you'll probably get a couple of good days fishing in, and a couple of days just hanging out by the pool, or hanging around town.
That's right. That's right. Enjoy the scenery.
Okay. Anyway, Chucky, that sounds awesome. And then people better start right now because I know that Eddie is on the road booking trips for this summer, and you guys got a lot of tournaments coming up, so it's time to start getting your bookings in for this year.
Exactly. We got a lot of good specials in the internet, and we booked before April 15th on our web specials and our. And if you happen to be in one of the show specials,
okay,
and you get 10% off. So it's good. Alrighty. good specials going on right now.
And you can just go to fishtalkradio.com and click on where it says Van and Warmer Resorts. And we always like to have Chucky get that famous phone number.
877-777-TUNA.
Okay. Thank you, Chucky. We appreciate
hey,
that.
Chucky.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, we're talking, John, about, fishing in East Cape, and it has to be not only some of the best fishing, but the best value that there is in the world of fishing, because, what you can do down there for the Palmas de Cortez you could certainly, hopefully your wife will go fishing, but you'd have no problem at all taking your wife or girlfriend down there, and they would love it, even if they don't go out on the boat.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much to do down there. It's just a beautiful place, beautiful weather, the temperature, the water's nice. Mm-hmm. Last time we were down there, my wife swam with a whale shark.
Oh, okay.
That was quite an experience.
Yeah, that probably would have been on the other
different
side
time.
Over at La Paz, yeah.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, more on the Silla Cortez mm-hmm. side. But it's not too far to get over there either.
No, it's
you got wheels.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that when you get down there, you can go to Cabo San Lucas and East Cape. And it's just so much there.
And the food is fantastic.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and start off. We have Sandy from the Redding Fly Shop. We're gonna run up against a break, but what we're gonna do is we're gonna bring Sandy on, and then we're gonna get just for about 2 minutes, and then we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna have Sandy come back because I want him and John Burke to be able to spend some time talking about fly fishing. So, Sandy, we've only got a couple minutes, but why don't we just start off right now with Redding Fly Shop?
Sure. Well, we've been here 35 years. In fact, this is our 35th anniversary, and we sent out a catalog to over 300,000 customers throughout the whole world. In fact, we just sent that out in the middle of January, and right now we're just inundated with orders. And you pick up an order and fill it, and you're interrupted 3 or 4 times on the phone because people are calling.
Yeah, well,
and
we tried to call
really
you.
It's a big part of our business,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, no, we just tried to call you, and you were in the middle of taking
Oh,
order.
Yeah, and that happens a lot.
Well, we love to have you on, but, your first job is to make money.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hey, Sandy. John Burke from the Santa Barbara Fly Fishers here, and I actually have your catalog right in front of me.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I was looking at some of these trips.
Well, that's such a fun place. If you do get the opportunity to visit Redding in that area, which is probably the center point of fly fishing in the western United States, if you walk in there, the store doesn't appear to be that big from the outside.
But boy, we do a big business, I'll tell you.
Well, you've got a lot of stuff.
Give you an idea. We count
the
flies. There's only thing in the shop that we can't by hand, and it's flies. And because they're so small, you cannot put any kind of UPC code on them.
Right.
And we have over 600,000 flies. We have to count one at a time.
Gosh.
So that gives you an idea for our inventory just on flies alone.
600,000. Wow.
Oh, yes. Man. Uh-huh. It's crazy. It's just we turn over our products very fast here, and we're a destination or by destination shop. I mean, people drive from the Bay Area, like San Francisco, Sacramento,
right,
2-3 hours away, and they stop by here and they pick up flies, they pick up rods, pick up whatever they need. So it's we're right perfectly location. If you come in Redding, you go any direction but south, you have to go right by our store. So and right along the freeway.
And we're going to have to let you go in just about a minute or so. Now, where do these flies come from? You can't possibly be tying all those.
Oh, no. We have no way. No way. We're too busy to do that. We hire companies like Uncle Fellow Merchants there, which are here in the States, but they turn around and farm it out all over the world.
Okay.
And then, of course, we get them at that kind of a thing. And,
right.
So we get them from all over the place.
Sandy, we're going to take a break. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We appreciate you taking the time. Don't take any more orders while you're gone, okay? You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We're going to be right back with Sandy from the Redding Fly Shop. We appreciate you tuning in.
Kachuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Kachuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Kachuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
I was fishing last Friday on a lake in Mississippi in the humid summer heat. On a boat with my best friend Cletus, who was sleeping in the back seat. Well, the bites were slow and we were running low.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Dr. John Burke on our local fly fishing aficionado. And talking about fly fishing, we have Sandy that operates, I don't know how to exactly rate it, but it's got to be one of the top fly shops in the country, if not the world, as far as what they have. And we're sitting here just coincidentally, John brought in a catalog. From the Redding Fly Shop. So from the outside, it may not look like it's, that big of a deal, but they do a lot of stuff that doesn't actually go out over the counter. But if you walk in there, you can spend a lot of time. Anyway, Sandy, you know, we mentioned a little bit about the fly shop. Let's talk just for a minute about Redding and the part of the world that you're located in.
Well, you bet. Redding is approximately 3 to 4 hours north of the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's about 2.5 hours north of Sacramento. And it's the most northern part of the San Joaquin Valley, so our elevation is only 500 feet, so we have very mild winters. And like today, for instance, it's 70 degrees. You know, that's a little bit warmer than we usually get, but, you know, we hardly ever get snow here, and occasionally get a cold snap, but not very often. So it's very mild winters. And the river right here in town is called the Lower Sac, which flows out of Lake Shasta. And the fishing there is just fantastic. We catch a lot of wild rainbows that are anywhere from 12 to about 18 inches long, and quite a few every year, you know, like 22, 23, 24-inch fish are coming out of there, and all big, fat, huge rainbows. So we have a great fishery right out in front of the store, and, of course, anything that flows into Lake Shasta, we have a lot of different streams. And we have, like, the Upper Sacramento River, which flows into the lake, and then we have the Pitt River, the McLeod River. You might have heard of the Nature Conservancy on McLeod. And then you have Fall River and Hat Creek, and also to the west we have the Steelhead Stream, and it's called the Trinity River. So we do a lot of year-round fishing here. And our guides are busy the whole year round.
Hey, Sandy, we were talking a little bit during the break about steelhead. Tell me a little bit about that, because I think that's going on right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In this particular area, it starts up about around the 1st of September. Gets real earnest about October, and it lasts October, November, December, January, and then right about now it starts to fade off, and by the end of February, it's pretty much over with. And right now it's a cold time of year, and the fish, you have to really hit them on the head to get them to strike, because the water is like 39 degrees, and the air temperature is like 28 over on the Trinity River. But the but that's only 45 minutes to an hour and a half away, depending where you want to fish.
Now,
so,
Sandy, when you're looking for steelhead, it's isn't it primarily sight fishing, where you've got to know where they are and just lay it in front of them?
Well, not so much sight. It's just that what I do, I go out and I know the river. I know where the fish like to lie. And you say, here's a rock, and here's a flow, and here's where the seam water, where the fast and the slow water meet, and the food kind of collects there. So there ought to be fish behind that rock. It's about 6 to 8 feet deep, and you kind of concentrate yourself, your whatever you're trying to offer to them to fly in that particular kind of an area. And lo and behold, you know, all of a sudden you get into them.
Now, steelhead will tend to be a little bit larger fish because they're a seagoing fish. I mean, a little bit on the idea of a salmon. They go out to the ocean and eat and get big, and then they come out, come up the rivers. How long do they usually stay in the ocean? Do you know?
Yeah. Once they're hatched and they come back out to make their way to the ocean, they spend typically 2 years. in the river. And our particular strain that we have here on the Trinity River, they're anywhere from, I say, around 5 to 6 pounds in that range. And some of them stay there like 3 years. Now, those are like 8 to 10 pound fish. And one thing that's different about the steelhead is that they don't die like the salmon do, like Pacific salmon die. Whereas here, the steelhead do not. So they turn around and go back to the ocean. And typically about 10% of those fish will come back again. And now those are like 12, 14, 15-pound fish. So you occasionally hook into some real big ones.
Yeah, that's a real challenge on a fly rod, but that's part of the attraction.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if the amount of people that have caught a trout in their life is almost everybody. But if you were to take 100 anglers and ask them how many steelhead they've caught, I would say you'd be probably not more than a couple.
It can be challenging at times. And I know when I first started, it took me a few trips before I even hooked a fish. But once, like anything else, the more you look and learn a river and learn where the fish are, it becomes a little bit easier. So if you put the effort in, you can catch fish.
And that's why it's handy to have a guide sometimes when you come to a new area. It's always worth the investment.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. A guy will put you on the fish.
I can be counted in that group that has caught steelhead, but if it wasn't for the guide, I would have had no chance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes a big, huge difference. You know, that guy is out there probably at least 5 or 6 days a week, and so they know where the fish are, they know what they're looking for. It just makes a huge, huge difference.
Now, other than, fishing where you are, is there still fly fishing available in different parts of the country this time of the year?
Oh, you betcha. A lot of areas are kind of like California way, where they will have certain streams that be open year-round. Montana is great for that. They have a lot of water that's open year-round, and you're fishing in the snow, and believe it or not, middle part of the day, and when the... And here you're standing in the snow, and here a little bit of a mayfly hatch comes off, and you can catch them on dry ice.
Wow.
So it's the opportunity is all over the country, really, especially, in the Pacific West. And back as far as Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, and all that, there's a lot of good trout fishing.
Yeah, there's some beautiful streams up in Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, some beautiful water. And this is a great time of year to experience some of that.
Yeah, you can get usually you can get some privacy this time of year. Sometimes in the summertime, things can get a little crowded.
Yeah,
and because everybody wants to fish when it's warm, but there is some great fishing in the wintertime, and it's there to be had.
Yeah, it's chillier, that's for sure. You have to be prepared. Line those waders, wear something to insulate your legs in that water, or go on. I guess some drift boats. So. Can be happening in some of those streams, too.
Oh, yeah. You betcha. I'm not too familiar with drift boating. Well, there are a lot of drift boating in Montana, obviously, but during the wintertime, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Summer, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you could do a lot of fishing all over the place. And, it doesn't even have to be... we have some pretty decent bass fishing around here, too, especially in the spring when the bass start spawning. That's a little something that a lot of people don't even really consider, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Fly fishing for bass is an excellent sport.
Oh, absolutely. Great opportunity. And, bass are everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, and people don't realize it until they accidentally hook one. And gee, where'd that come from?
And they are a lot of fun.
Yes, they are.
Prefer that people, don't kill steelhead. But if you want to take one for dinner, we're not going to arrest you.
And especially if it's a hatchery program, they don't mind you taking them at all.
Right, but if it's a largemouth bass, there's really no reason to take that out of the water.
True. Yeah, you can do what you want there. And most people that come for bass, they usually come for trout. They're usually not geared up for the bass, but if they do, they usually just let it go.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the rainbow trout typically are catching or put and take. So, as a general rule, that they're put in there by the fisheries for you to take them home.
Yeah, those are marked areas for sure. I know around here we have a lot of streams that are just catch and release only, but all the lakes that most of these lakes around in California anyway are geared up for you to be able to take because they plant the heck out of the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Certain streams, they know it gets a lot of traffic, so they'll make it a planning situation where they want you to take the fish out. And if they catch these fish, you do them a favor by taking them out, because chances are they're not going to make it through the winter.
Well, Sandy, we're going to let you go, but first of all, how do we get in touch with you, and if you have any parting words to tell our audience?
Well, you betcha. As far as trying to reach us here, our phone number is 1-800-669-3474, and that's anytime you've got a question about this area. And we also have a fly selection that will go clear across the country and around the world. You cannot believe the amount of flies we have for saltwater here. So, because we have a travel service, we send people all over the world, Russia and Alaska and Canada, and South America, you just name it.
Okay.
And you name it, we can do it all.
We appreciate that, Sandy. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that very much. Thanks for joining us today.
You betcha. I appreciate it. Anytime.
All righty.
Bye, Sandy.
Okay,
bye.
We're going to take a couple of minutes and visit with Jason, who operates the Stardust, a half-day sport fishing boat out of Santa Barbara. And, Jason, we were talking to a little bit earlier about sand dabs. And I know this is normally the time of the year where you get your boat cleaned up and fixed up. But if people do want to go out this time of the year, what's it look like out in the channel?
Well, I got to tell you, you can take a half-day trip right now and catch all the fish you want. You just got to release them, and we're fishing very shallow water. It's really a lot of fun. We're fishing between 30 and 70 feet of water. You can catch all kinds of stuff. You just got to throw it back, and it all lives when you throw it back. Now, occasionally we'll get some sand bass and stuff, too, and a calico or two. So that's kind of what's going on, and you can always go out in the deeper water and catch sand dabs anytime you'd like.
Okay. And, the whole point is getting out, taking the family, getting the kids out. And if someone's interested in getting out on the Stardust, do you have what is your website?
Oh, I'm at StardustSportFishing.com.
StardustSportFishing.com. And I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. You got, the best boat burgers in the land.
Hey, and the weather's great.
It is. Okay. Okay, it looks like we're going to, we've got only about 30 seconds left, but the rockfish season in California opens up in the beginning of March.
Yeah, March 1st.
So let's get geared up for that. But if you happen to get the opportunity to come out and visit in Santa Barbara, just make sure you stop by and talk to Jason.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Okay, Jason, we appreciate that, and I guess you're busy painting and cleaning and getting everything ready.
Oh, it's going to look like a brand new boat when we're done.
That does. Okay. All right, Jason, buddy, thanks for coming in. And that is StardustSportFishing.com. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in the studio with Dr. John Burke. We're going to come back and talk about some big, big, big largemouth bass. We'll have Shelley Hudson from Lake Comanche and Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine. So stay tuned to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250 slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now, I don't care about the evening news.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Dr. John Burke. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, we're having so much fun just sitting around a couple of friends talking about fishing.
Yeah.
And talking about some fish stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a fish story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But there's usually always a basis for truth in there somewhere. But talking about fish stories, we have Spencer from Lake Comanche on the line with us. And I bet Spencer has a fish story for us, something that happened a few days, last weekend?
It happened on Saturday, actually.
Okay.
There was a Mr. Lonnie Owen of Galt came in. He was fishing for bass in our main lake, and he actually broke our lake record. He caught a 15.2-pound largemouth.
Okay. Now, I saw a picture of that, and maybe it's, you know...
It's hard to believe.
That's a big fish. I mean, a five-pound bass...
It's not the ocean, right?
Five-pound bass is a big fish. But when he holds this thing up, man, this thing was... Was it 25 inches long and a 25-inch girth or something like that?
It was 28 inches long and with a 25-inch girth.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah.
What'd you do with that?
He actually, after taking a few pictures with it and getting all of his information, he threw it back in the lake.
Good for him. Someone else maybe can catch it.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, I have no idea, but what's the life expectancy of a bass, and how long would it take a bass? Of course, it depends on the food. How long would it take a bass to reach that kind of a size?
Well, usually the females are the ones that get that big.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I know with the Florida largemouth, they can grow at a rate of a couple pounds a year if they have the right environment, I believe is what it was. I don't know for sure, though.
Okay. Well, they can get quite large, and it's
yeah.
The fact that it's a female, reintroducing it back into the lake is kind of a good thing, right? You would think, a breeder.
Yeah, that helps her so she can spawn this year and stuff like that, because it's right before the spawn now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I would be tempted, though, to mount that fish. Or I guess he can do a similar deal, can't
they?
Yeah,
all you
got to
do is
take
the measurements.
Just
get the measurements and the picture.
Yeah.
As most people now realize, but some people still don't realize, is that there's really no such thing as mounting or stuffing a fish anymore.
That's an older technique,
probably 50, 60 years ago since they did that, used the plaster of Paris molds and to stretch the skin over it.
Yeah.
But they've got... the people that make the replicas have so many different molds. All you got to do is just give them whatever size it is, and they've already got a mold, and then they can just put it together and paint it up for you.
Yeah,
exactly. And that makes it better for the spawning and stuff, too. That way you don't have to take the fish away.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Give us a little bit of... Oh, by the way, if you don't mind, Spencer, we also have Mark Lassane. I think that he's just listening in right now, and he is the... the editor, publisher, copy man, and floor sweeper for Bass Angler Magazine.
Okay.
We did have
him. He may be on in a little bit.
Yeah, we will. Anyway, give us some more, other than 15-pound largemouth bass, what else do you have in the lake?
We have trout that we plant every week. We've been planting 1,200 pounds of trout every week since the winter started. We also have a good population of catfish, channel cats, and blue cats. And we also have crappie out here.
Now, tell us again where this lake is and how we get to it.
We're Lake Comanche. We're located just outside of Ione, the North Shore is. The South Shore is located just outside of Bursa, California. We're about 45 minutes east of Sacramento.
Okay.
Well, Spencer, we do have Mark Lassane. We found him. I guess he was writing up a story here. But anyway, we've got him on the line right now, and he is the editor of Bass Angler Magazine, and he may have some questions for you about that particular lake and about that particular bass.
All right.
Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Awesome.
Hi, great. I heard you were talking to me, and I wasn't there.
That's true. We were just talking. Anyway, but we got you now. So we have Spencer on the line from Lake Comanche, and I don't know if you're going to be writing about that lake record trout that came out or not, but let's talk a little bit about big bass.
Yeah, and I saw that a guy just caught a 15-pound, 2-ounce bass at Lake Comanche. That is a feat. So that's just something that happens once in a lifetime. I think that's one of the top 25 bass, heaviest bass landed in the world, I believe.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And Spencer, do you have Mark, do you have any questions for Spencer? Do you know anything about what the equipment used and, what method and any particulars?
He was using what's called a swim bait toad thrasher. And I guess his friend out of up here in the foothills makes them himself. He makes these toad thrashers themselves, and they come in like shad, toad, designs, different designs and colors and stuff like that. We're actually going to be getting an order in this week from the guy, and we'll be selling them here at the marina.
Nice. That's kind of not a real common thing, but the guys that really get into swim baits, a lot of them make their own. And I'm not sure who the toad thrasher guy is. But apparently catches some big bass on this swim bait. And, you know, it's like a lot of the guys down in Southern California, you'll get a bunch of them that make their own swim baits, and some of them just do a phenomenal job. They hand paint them and, you know, build them. They look really nice.
You know,
a realistic bait.
When you're trying for larger bass like that, what size lures are we talking about? Are we talking 6 inches? Are we talking bigger, smaller?
No, you're talking bigger. You know, I'm not sure how big of bait was used to catch this one, but generally, if you're called a trophy hunter, if you're out fishing for fish like this, you're going to be using a bait that is probably from 9 to 15 inches long.
Okay, wow.
You're going for big fish, so you're not just trying to go out and try to catch a little bass.
You're serious.
Use a bait under 6 inches. You're looking at the fish under 10 pounds for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an old adage that one of my friends told me years and years ago is that if you're going after big fish, you use a big lure. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of the guys do. I mean, that's not always the case, but generally, you know, averages, that's the way it is. If you want to catch a big one, you're going to use big baits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What if you just want to catch one?
Then you're going to use a smaller bait. You know, if you just want to go out and catch fish, you're going to use a smaller bait. You know, this time of year, you'd probably be using a worm or a jig mm-hmm. or a gets-it, something that's a little slow-moving and a smaller bait.
Right.
You know, Comanche has a great population of smallmouth, largemouth, and spotted bass.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're going there just trying to catch fish, you're probably going to use one of the smaller style baits.
Well, Mark, judging from what he was using, he was targeting large bass.
Yes. Yes, it looks like, I would enjoy seeing the bait that was used, but I can assume that the guy was going after large bass. And, you know, those guys, that's a whole different mindset for that, you know, going for the trophies. And the guys, I'm not sure what this guy was doing, but most of the guys that do that, they'll go out and fish for one bite, two bites throughout the whole day. So they'll go out and fish 8 or 10 hours, throw mm-hmm. the bait all day long.
1,000,
for
2,000
one
times,
bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You see these, and, you know, I admire them, and, you know, I can certainly appreciate the passion they have for the sport, but I don't know, there's something about throwing that thing out there 1,000 times, for not necessarily one fish, but for one strike, and they just keep over and over and over, but that's what it takes.
Well, you know, you can kind of envision it like going out fishing for marlin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have you gone out for marlin and trolled around all day and never got a bite? I mean, it happens. You know, it's the same mentality.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, all those guys out there on those boats, they want to get that big marlin. So a lot of times they'll just go out and cruise around all day trying for that one big giant one.
Or,
big giant tuna, same with most any species.
Right.
If you're targeting the big giant ones, you know, you're not going to get nearly as many bites.
Right. Well, except that's never happened to me. But the other thing is that when you're trolling, trolling for marlin, you're not sitting there at the rail throwing, you know, a cast after cast after cast. You're, you know, sitting in a sitting in a chair and reading a book or having a beer.
Sure. Yeah, you're not quite quite as active.
Anyway, but no, I understand that, especially if you're going after the big ones. And if you're going after a big marlin, you know, you might be using a 15-20 pound bait, and you're not going to catch a small one with that. But if you catch one, hang on.
Yeah.
Right.
Fish of
right.
a lifetime.
And this time of the year, Mark, and Shelley, if you got to get back to work, we can go ahead and just finish up with Mark, but we appreciate you coming on.
All right.
All right. And then I think contact information for Lake Comanche.
Oh, yeah. Contact information, address is 2000 Comanche Road, Island, California, 95640. And phone numbers would be 763-5121. Or 763-5912.
And you've got a website that we can find you?
Yeah, ComancheRecreation.com, and we also have a Facebook page. And you can see pictures of that big fish on either our website or our Facebook page.
Well, I suspect you're going to be getting a few more people showing up there real quick.
And that's Comanche is C-A-M-A-N-C-H-E.
Yes, sir. C-A-M.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mark, we've only got about a minute or so left with you. Maybe you've got some words of wisdom for some people that they want to go bass fishing. And apparently you can still do it this time of the year, obviously.
Sure you can. can. You know, if you want to go fishing this time of year, I would fish a lake that has spotted bass. Spotted bass are a little more aggressive than largemouth, and they're a little easier to catch in the cold water. So you want to be fishing, you know, probably 20 to 30 feet deep. You're going to be throwing kind of a smaller compact bait like a gitzit or a jig, maybe in a green or a brown color, or a small worm. You can drop shot or Texas rig or Carolina rig.
Okay.
If you need to learn more about how these actually riggings, you could pick up a copy or two of Bass Angler magazine, and we can walk you through all these different techniques.
I was just going to say that. We've only got about 10 seconds, but you probably have a website, too.
I do, bassmag.com. Go there, check it out. We also have a picture of that world record, the record Comanche fish on there. Right?
Oh, great.
Scroll down to the bottom, and it's right there.
Bassmag.com. Bassmag.com. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
We appreciate
you tuning in.
Okay. All right, thank you.
We really appreciate everybody tuning in to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Dr. John Burke, and we're having a great time. We appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio.
Yeehaw.